Seek in the Lord's help and your prayerful attention. I again direct you to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and verses 25 and 26. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, and verses 25 and 26. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. The second chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, and verses 25 and 26. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. This was to be a most favoured time to dear Simeon. The sweet fulfilment of what the Lord had promised him. And what a blessed thing it will be in your soul and mine when the Lord fulfills the promises that he gives to his dear people. Now we look this morning at the first part of this 25th verse and how the Holy Spirit wonderfully spoke concerning dear Simeon, that he was a just man and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And in conclusion, we looked at this last part where he says, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And oh may the Lord grant us grace to wait for his consolation. And we notice how wonderfully the Lord was to comfort, to encourage his dear people with the glorious birth and coming of the dear Lord Jesus. But I want us help this afternoon to go a little further with the word. But just to tarry with those two vital points, waiting, first of all. What a mercy it is to be waiting for the Lord, waiting for his appearing, waiting for him to speak, waiting for him to fulfill his precious promises, waiting for him to answer our prayers. You know, dear Hannah, she didn't wait in vain, did she? She waited the Lord's time. And as we concluded this morning, we said how we need that heavenly patience to be given to wait the Lord's time. That's not in us, is it? What does the Word of God tell us? Ye have need of patience. Ye have need of patience. And we need patience to wait for the Lord, don't we? We need patience with each other. We need patience to wait for him to answer our prayers. So he says here he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And that consolation was the glorious coming of the Lord Jesus. And then this sweet comfort that flowed, and the darkness as we looked at this morning was turned into light and the sorrow into joy. But then he goes further and we find this beautiful word, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. This is a very vital point. If you and I have got a real religion, we shall know what it is for the Holy Ghost to come upon us. And I want to look at it in a few ways as we may be helped. But first of all, do we desire that we might know what Simeon was favoured with here? The Holy Ghost to come upon us. Now, when the Holy Ghost comes upon a poor, needy sinner, they are not their own. He comes upon them to work in them, like he did in Saul of Tarsus. The Holy Ghost, when he comes upon the poor sinner, they're brought under his divine influence, the influence of the Holy Ghost. So instead of desiring time things, when the Holy Ghost is upon us, what we desire are those eternal blessings that are in Christ Jesus. And you look how the Lord wonderfully did this in the heart of Saul of Tarsus. When the Holy Ghost came upon him, he convinced him of his sin. And not only did he convince him of his sin, but he directed him to the blessed remedy of those sins, the cure, in the dear Lord Jesus. He gave him sweet hope in a precious Christ, and it was when the Holy Ghost came upon him. We read so many sweet records in the New Testament, don't we, of the Holy Ghost coming upon his dear people. We think particularly, and I tried to preach on it last Lord's Day morning, where the blessed Holy Spirit descended in the bodily form of a dove at the baptism of Christ. You know, the Holy Ghost wonderfully descended, didn't he? When Christ was baptized, the voice from the excellent glory of the God the Father, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And then the descending of the dove, the Holy Spirit. And what was that Holy Spirit sweetly fulfilling? It was giving God's divine approval upon that baptism. The seal from heaven, the whole matter was of God. And two, it proves to us the wonderful work of the Trinity in one. There was the dear Son of God, immersed in Jordan's river. There was the voice from God the Father, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And then the Holy Spirit blessedly descending in the bodily form of a dove. The whole work was of God. And then we find concerning Simeon, the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now, may we be helped to look at it in a few ways. In the first instance, this: the Holy Ghost convinces sinners of their sin. It was the Holy Ghost that convinced Simeon of his sin and brought him to feel his need of the dear Redeemer. And it was when the Holy Ghost descends upon your heart and mine that we shall feel our need of him. But then, secondly, the Holy Ghost will show us the beauties that there are in the Lord Jesus. You know, there's a wonderful beauty to faith in Christ. And it's when the Holy Spirit comes upon us and reveals that beauty. There's no beauty in Christ to the natural man. What do we read in Isaiah? When we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. You know, if the world saw a beauty in Christ, this chapel and all the chapels in this land would be filled. Because faith in them would draw them to the dear Redeemer, and they want to hear of him. So what a mercy if we've been made to differ from the world and from the ungodly. Desiring the truth as it is in Jesus. Now the Holy Ghost reveals the beauty there is in Jesus. And there is a blessed beauty. And not only is there a blessed beauty, but there's a blessed suitability. And when the Holy Ghost comes upon us, we see the suitability of Jesus. It's suited. He's suited to every sinner's case. But then another reason why we need the Holy Ghost to come upon us is this. That we might truly pray aright. You know, it's easy for us to utter many words, isn't it? Public prayer really troubles me, lest it should be just words. Because really, you know, it's a solemn thing to pray. Herbert Dawson, and I've said it before, Herbert Dawson used to say he'd rather preach 2 sermons than speak in public prayer once. He said, because when we preach, we know we're preaching before a holy God, but we're preaching to poor sinners, we're preaching to the people. When we pray, we're speaking to a holy and just God who sees us exactly as we are. Nothing is hid from him. And this is why we need the Holy Ghost to come upon us, that we might truly pray as prompted by the Spirit within us. Plead from our hearts. You know, heart prayer is often when there's not even a word uttered. It's the inmost longing and cry of the heart of the child of God. How many times the psalmist pleaded from his inmost soul with the God of heaven. The Holy Spirit seemed to so indict him to pray. And how many times in secret. And it's often when we're in the most need, then the best prayers go out. When we're in great straits because of our sin, great straits because of our soul and where we shall spend eternity, we're in such need. We need washing in the precious blood of Jesus. We need cleansing from all sin. We need the Lord to appear and reveal himself to us as our Saviour, our Redeemer. And the cry goes out, like it did from the publican. You know, the Holy Spirit indicted that dear man to pray. And what did he say? A simple cry that came right out of his inmost soul. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And poor soul, if the Holy Ghost comes upon you and indicts your poor heart and mind to truly plead that, we shall know what it is to obtain mercy. You look how the Lord wonderfully granted him his request, and he went down to his house justified rather than the other. And it was when the Holy Ghost came upon him. The Holy Ghost wasn't upon the Pharisee, was it? But he was upon the dear publican. And you think too, when that dear dying thief upon the cross, the last moments of his life, cried out to the Saviour, "Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me." The Holy Ghost was upon the dear man. And you look at the sweet answer the Lord gave. "This day shalt thou be with me in paradise." You see, the proof of the Holy Ghost being upon us in prayer, teaching us to pray, is by the answer. And you may say, "Oh, that I might have more answers." Well, poor soul, plead more earnestly that the Holy Ghost might come upon you and indite that real wrestling fervent prayer. What does the hymn writer say? "Wrestling prayer can wonders do, bring relief in deepest straits. Prayer can force a passage through iron bars and brazen gates." And when the Holy Ghost comes upon us, there the poor sinner's groans and sighs and petitions, however feeble they may feel them to be, will pierce iron bars and brazen gates and enter into the ears of the Lord God of Sabaoth. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. But then, when can you really praise the Lord? When could Simeon sound forth this blessed praise in the verses following? When the Holy Ghost was upon him. He that gives you the breath of real prayer, poor soul, will give you the breath of real praise. Now, if you look in the case of Hannah and of Hezekiah and of others, you'll find the Holy Ghost was so come upon them, inditing them to pray, but the Holy Ghost came upon them and gave them that real praise. You think of dear Hannah, how she sounded forth in that second chapter of the first book of Samuel, the praise to her God. And it came right out of her heart, and the Holy Ghost was upon her. Well, we have it here in the previous chapter. Two things regarding praise. You think of the dear Mother of Christ. How her inmost soul could praise the Lord and give him all the glory when he told her she'd bring forth the Son of God. Her very heart was enlarged. When can you really praise him? When the Holy Ghost is upon you, your very heart will open up in praise to God. It's like those shepherds we read of them this morning in this chapter, and oh, how their hearts were full because the Holy Ghost had come upon them and brought them this blessed tidings of good joy toward all men. He says here, doesn't he? "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men." The angels sounded forth, but so did the shepherds in their hearts. Oh, they did. And then you think of the second point would be in the previous chapter of dear Zacharias, when the Lord had so, the Holy Ghost had come upon him. and brought him to that point where he had to acknowledge that his name shall be called John the Baptist. And all the heart of Zacharias was filled with the praises of his God. And how he could sound it forth. Now concerning dear Simeon, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. It was upon him. There's no doubt about it. This is what the Lord has recorded. It was upon him. But let us look at it in another way. The Holy Ghost, when he comes upon the poor sinner, he makes them tender. And he makes them humble. There's no particle of room for anything of pride or of man when the Holy Ghost comes upon us. And there's no room for rebelliousness. When the Holy Ghost comes upon, he'll melt the sinner's heart. He'll make them submissive. He'll make them tender. And all they want to do is the Lord's will. It's easy for us to quote, isn't it? But thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. But oh, when can we be submissive and resigned to the Lord's will? It's when the Holy Ghost is upon us. And there's tenderness, you see, within the heart of the child of God. And not only this, there's gracious humility. Gracious humility. Oh, that the Holy Ghost might descend at this sacred time of the year upon us, and that we might know that truly tender conscience and tender heart. What does the Word of God tell us? That we might have the mind and the Spirit of Christ. And when is it we can have the mind and the Spirit of Christ? When the Holy Ghost is come upon us. Oh, one feels the great need of this. Well, let us go further. When is it that servants of God can truly preach? It's when the Holy Ghost comes upon them. I know this, that if the Holy Ghost withdraws from me in any way, I know what it is to feel bondage in a moment. I think of some of the old preachers. They used to just sit down suddenly. They say, well, the Holy Ghost has withdrawn from us and we must leave the subject. And they sat down. It's better, you know, for a man to sit down if the Holy Ghost is not upon him. Not a volume of words will never profit any soul, not so as hungers and thirst for the truth. I remember the late Mr. Mulvey many years ago, and a dear man reminded me of it the other day. He said, you know, he was preaching, and then suddenly he stopped. He said, the Lord's gone, friend, so I'm going to sit down. And you think the reality of it, you see. And that's how real it will be. But let us just press this home further. You think of dear Peter on the day of Pentecost. Why was it the Lord so honoured and blessed his ministry there and gave him such liberty? It was because the Holy Ghost descended upon him. And when the Holy Ghost descended upon dear Peter, oh, how he could exhort the dear Redeemer in all his sufferings, in all his agonies. Lifted Christ high upon the gospel pole, and what did Jesus himself say? And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. And oh, you look at that wonderful day of Pentecost, how the Holy Ghost fell upon dear Peter and anointed him to preach that sacred sermon. And you look at the gracious effect it had. All those called by divine grace, all those brought in a great concern about their souls, men and brethren, what shall we do? And the same thing applied with dear Peter on the occasion when he went into Cornelius' house. The Holy Ghost came upon him. Well, let's just step back with Peter. You think prior to him going to Cornelius' house, to go among those Gentiles, what happened? There he was on the housetop in Joppa, in a trance. And what happened? The Holy Ghost came upon him and showed him that great sheet let down from heaven with all manner of creeping things in it. And the Lord spoke to him, "Arise and eat." But Peter said, "I have not eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the Lord showed him that he got to go down to preach to that Gentile house a precious Jesus. And oh, you look how the Lord works. You know, when the Holy Ghost comes upon us, he won't work by halves. Oh no, he won't work by halves. He didn't with dear Peter, did he? Or in Cornelius' house, the Holy Ghost descended upon Cornelius' house and the Lord sent down there to him three men to seek Peter. "Behold, three men seek thee. Arise and go with them, doubting nothing." And oh, how the Lord wonderfully sent him down there, and he went under the blessed influence of the Holy Ghost. But listen, too, there's another side to this. When the Holy Ghost comes upon us, we need him to come upon not only the poor preacher, but go back to the day of Pentecost, upon them that heard the word. When the Holy Ghost comes upon us, he'll give a true spirit of hearing. He'll open the sinner's heart like he did Lydia, that she could hear the word that was preached. And on the day of Pentecost, you know, the Holy Ghost descended. And oh, what a spirit of hearing there was. We live in a solemn day where there's a famine of hearing. And the word we read profited them not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Think how solemn that is. But you know, on that day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost descended upon Peter, and he descended too upon that congregation. And may it be so, we're spared to enter into the new year, not only here, but throughout Zion, the Holy Ghost being poured out. And do we not need the Holy Ghost poured out in this nation? You think of the solemn condition that we're in. I don't wish to go into all the details of the land, but you think where our Prime Minister today, well, the Lord knows. Where are the leaders of our parties today? I'm persuaded of this, and I don't want to be the judge, but you know, the Holy Ghost is not on them, or not come upon them. He can come upon them in a moment. And the land would be brought into a far healthier, better condition, both naturally and spiritually, if the Holy Ghost were to come upon our leaders, and the same thing in the established church. You take away the study of divinity that they've been in, of a natural study of it, what is the left? What we need, beloved friends, is the Holy Ghost to come upon us. And he can take fools and he can make them wise. Oh, the great need of this. You see, this was a blessed day when Simeon was favoured with this. The dear Holy Spirit had so come upon him. And the Holy Ghost, we read this, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now let us bring it home to us each individually. Is the Holy Ghost upon you, poor soul, and upon me, and do we desire that he would be? You know, in all things, and the older I get, the more I feel it, the Lord, I have to beg of the Lord that I might be under the sweet leading of the Holy Ghost. Not any leading of man, but the leading of the Holy Ghost. In matters of providence, in the great things of grace, Lord, do lead me. We think of that beautiful word in Paul's letter to the Romans. And what do we read? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And you see, one of the proof of our sonship is the Holy Ghost being upon us. Oh yes. When the Holy Ghost descends upon the poor sinner, he can melt the most rebellious and hard heart in a moment. Oh, he can. Ye are not your own. Ye are bought with a price. Well, I don't know why the Lord has directed me to this word, but it seemed to not, well, it may be I preach it to myself because I need it so much. When is it? Let's come further. You see a preciousness in the holy word of God, and the sacredness in it is when the Holy Ghost shines upon the sacred page. And then, what will the word be to you? It'll be life and it'll be power. What did the Holy Spirit record concerning the ministry of the dear Lord Jesus? The words that he spoke unto them were spirit and they were life. And you see, when the Holy Ghost comes and shines upon the sacred word, or shines upon that which is preached, it'll be life and it'll be power to the child of God. Oh, it will. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Oh, may that be recorded concerning each of us. But I said I'd go further. There's another vital point here. When is it we can lay down and die and leave this earth and all its toys? It'll be when the Holy Ghost comes upon us and he weans us of all the things of time, and we see the emptiness and vanity in them. They're all perishing. And what does the hymn writer say? I long to lay me down to die and find eternal rest. When the Holy Ghost is upon us, sacred place, you know. May we be favoured. It's my soul's longing that we might each be favoured with this. Because if we are favoured with it, you know, it'll be well with us while life endure, and it'll be well when we call to die. May this word stir us each up to fervent prayer, that we might know here what Simeon did, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Upon him. He was personal, you see. On somebody else. Lord, may it be upon me. But I must hasten. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he'd seen the Lord's Christ. The Holy Ghost not only teaches, convinces, he reveals too vital things. And here, the Holy Ghost was to reveal to dear Simeon something very blessed, that he should not die until he'd seen the Lord's Christ. Till he viewed the dear Redeemer born into this earth. He got something to look forward to, hadn't he? You think that we don't know how many years before the Lord had revealed it to him. But he got something to look forward to. The Lord Jesus being revealed to him. What as? His Saviour, his Redeemer, his all and in all. May we ever be under the blessed influence of the Holy Ghost, and may we know what it is for him to reveal the precious Christ. Faith in dear Simeon reached out for Christ. Long for his appearing. Long for his coming. We sung this morning, didn't we? Come thou long expected Saviour. Born to set thy people free. And oh, may we, and it's my soul's desire, this sacred season of year, have a precious Jesus revealed to us, like Simeon did, as our Saviour, our Redeemer, our all and in all. You see, all Simeon's hope was in his dear Redeemer. It wasn't in himself. It wasn't in any man, but in the dear Lord himself. And as he revealed to you and to me the preciousness of his precious blood. Because when the Holy Spirit reveals that precious blood to you, it cleanses the sinner from all sin and from all uncleanness. It'll make them white in the blood of the Lamb. No matter how black the sinner is, they can be made white in a moment. A revealed Christ. It's a good hymn we sing sometimes, isn't it? Fervent prayer, I hope, of each of our hearts. Jesus, reveal thyself to me. May we be truly indicted by the Spirit to plead that. Now what happened, and I haven't time to go into it, but look at the wonders here. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. Notice how he went into the temple. He didn't go of his own. He came by the Spirit. Into the temple, into the house of God, longing to view this dear, precious babe of Bethlehem as his Saviour, his Redeemer. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, exactly what the Lord said he was to fulfill. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. You see, all Simeon's salvation was in the dear Lord Jesus. What did one say? If ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. There's no other way, poor soul. What did Jesus whisper? I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands. I that speak unto thee, when he revealed himself to the woman at the well, am he. Amen.